This is Amanda Knoll with the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program from the University of Florida. It's July 3rd, 2010, and I'm here with
Dennis Tully
and
Sharon Tully.
Well, thank you so much for you guys being here and agreeing to talk to us. I'd like to get started just by you telling about your family and how you guys got involved in the Canal Zone.
It goes back to actually my grandfather, Robert Lee Randall. He was in Panama, and I'm not sure if he was in on the construction or not. I'm checking on that, but they were down there, and my mother was down there. My father went there in 1941, and he was in the Army Air Corps, and he got out of the Army Air Corps and became a Canal Zone policeman. And I found out later on his deathbed that he was actually never out of the service. He was a commander in the Navy, and he was also a spy because the Canal Zone had all these cables and stuff running through the jungles that they had to keep track of, and that's what he did.
Wow.
So it was interesting, and you know, that's how, and I was born in Margarita Canal Zone, and there's a church now where my hospital was. And Sharon, she was born in Colon, and my other sister Gail was born in Colon. So we are Zonians, and we do have the dual citizenship there. So, but we loved it down there. I mean, we lived in several, it's a small knit community. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to know what a socialistic society was like, that was a success story because they provided your housing and everything. And so we just, as kids, we knew each other, knew everybody. We're from the Atlantic side, the good side. Balboa is the drinking side. That wasn't our side. you will hear that referred to.
Oh, I have.
Yes.
Other side.
The other side.
They didn't say that last year, though. They shared a hospitality house. That's the first time in history that the two have gotten along together.
Yes, we did. We shared.
We got along quite well.
We shared a hospitality house last year with the other side.
Uh-huh. They even let them drink their alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So we got along great finally, you know. So, but life down there was
idyllic.
Yeah.
Paradise.
It was just, it was nice. I mean, you could walk around and not have to worry. You could have your doors open. You never had to worry about anybody breaking in. You had Colon where we were at. Even back then, it was funny because you could go around. But if you went into Colon, the women could not wear shorts or they'd get arrested. It was just, that's just the way the place was.
Uh-huh. But, and that was outside of the zone?
That was outside of the zone, right. Okay. If they went in the Colon outside of the zone in shorts, they would be arrested.
And plus on the army base there, Fort Gulick, they were not allowed to wear shorts either on the base. The MPs would stop them and make them go back to their house, and they had to. And so when I went to visit my friends for the weekend, I could not wear any shorts. I had to have a skirt on. I don't even remember if we could wear slacks on the Army base, but I knew that shorts were a no-no, and they would pick you up as a kid, and so no one could wear shorts on at or any of the Army bases.
We got our first TV in 1953, I believe.
No, 56.
No, we had our first.
Elvis TV. Just came out. Pat Boone, and we were in Margarita. Yeah. And just come back from the United States visiting Grandma. Yeah.
But it was, you know, metal case and all, that was pretty. But we didn't watch much TV. We watched wrestling. We had a cat that liked to watch wrestling with us.
Tiger.
It was the weirdest cat in the world because he wouldn't watch any TV. You put wrestling on, he'd walk up, sit in front of the TV and watch. And when the ad came on, he'd walk off.
Mm-hmm.
And when the wrestling came back on, he'd walk back and sit and watch the TV.
His head would go back and forth like this. He'd be watching them like that. I wish we had video.
Most of the homes now in Old Cristobal and New Cristobal, most of the homes, there was no jungle there.
Mm-hmm.
And there, Panama pretty much has thick jungles.
Mm-hmm.
But when we lived in Margarita and Francefield, it was jungle. You walk out your door and 50 feet, you were in the jungle. And as kids, we'd play games. We didn't watch TV. We didn't know. And the government service had control over the TV until like 6 or 7 o'clock. And then shows came on. But as kids, we were never, we didn't care about TV. We played games. We played football, baseball. We were in the jungle. Ring Alivio was a famous game. You hid and had teams and catch each other. And I spent most of my time in the jungle. I mean, even weekdays, I'd be out in the jungle. And it was fun out there.
Not supposed to be, but we did go. Got caught, but we weren't supposed to be in there.
But it is always a cross breeze, because the isthmus is only 50 miles wide. Mm-hmm. So you always have a breeze. The only place air-conditioned in Panama when we lived there was the clubhouse, the commissary, and the movie theater. That was it.
And that was until later. Coca Cola got it before Margarita did.
So we didn't have, you didn't need air conditioning. It just wasn't, but we could get soaked, walk in and get something to eat in the cold and dry off and walk back out and get soaked again. And you never caught colds. But it was just a lot of fun down there. It was just, the schools were great. When I came to this country, I was a year and a half ahead of where I was here. And they wouldn't let me go ahead. They made me stay back. And I had to take everything all over again. It was the most boring thing in the world to do. But what else do you...
Well, can you tell me a little bit about your mother? Did she work down there? Or?
No, my mom was... she was involved in... What was that?
She was
Women's Club or something?
I see the ring, the star.
Mason?
No, she wasn't.
The other one, the female.
Yeah, she was involved in that. She was involved in the Women's Club.
Mm-hmm. But a lot to do with the Elks Club.
Elks Club. My dad was, the one that worked. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have to. Most of the women down there didn't have to work. She was home, but she was gone a lot because of all the organizations she belonged to. Now in Panama,
Eastern Star
is what she belonged to. But in Panama, and they had maids. Now the Panamanians loved to be a maid because they got a lot more money than what they'd get over. And Louise was ours, and I mean, she was our maid since we were born.
You were. I was
and too. She was family. She wasn't really. Mm-hmm. We didn't consider her a maid. She was
a
there
nanny.
Every day. She was. She helped raise us. And she raised us. And I learned how to cook with her. And she was there every day, working. And it was like I said. She was family.
Mm-hmm. She was Jamaican.
And we tried to bring her to the United States with us, but she didn't want to come. But my mom, yeah, she mostly did that, and I didn't see much of her during the day because I was never home. I mean, I was gone. And like I said, TV, I couldn't tell you because I didn't watch it. It was just, we didn't watch TV. We didn't have the customs they have up here. Like down there, it was just different. And the high school, the grade schools and all, we learned, the Panamanian school learned English from the time they started school as their second language. Our schools, the American schools, learned Spanish from the time you started school. Mm-hmm. That way you both had the two languages and that way you knew them. So it was really nice that way. And during the summer, the coach, several, but we had programs, volleyball, basketball, archery. I used to teach archery. But we'd go across the isthmus and play basketball against Gamboa, Balboa, Diablo Heights, and all during the summer. They had a summer program for us, whereas up here, you have to invent your own or, join the Y or something. Down there, it was just there for the kids. So it was a lot of fun that way. And then we took vacations every other year because my father got 1 month
Two, almost three.
Yeah. So he'd take a vacation every other year, and then we'd almost have to spend 3 months up here with my grandparents at Drew Park in Tampa.
Okay.
Which, I got the note here, and McDonald hamburgers for, what, 11 cents was it back then?
Yeah, I think, McDonald's was 11 cents, and, no, 15.
15 cents,
and the fries
yeah.
were 11 cents.
Yeah.
So. And back then, the Whoppers were a Whopper because they were this big, and you couldn't finish it, because it was 49 cents. For the fish, and I couldn't even finish it. I said, they're not even as big as what they are. They call them what they want. They're tiny now compared to back then. But that was the first Whopper we had was in St. Petersburg on US 19. It's no longer there.
But you lived in, it was a small community, mm-hmm. but you moved. I don't know the reason behind it, but we lived in Old Cristobal, then we moved to New Cristobal, then we went from New Cristobal to Margarita, and then from Margarita to France Field when my dad got hurt they have Chivas down there. They call them Chivas. Mm-hmm. It's homemade buses. They can make a bus out of anything, cars, anything. And my dad had a motorcycle with a sidecar on it because uh-huh. he used to take me to grade school. Used to love that. He'd take me to grade school in the sidecar. But a Chiva ran a stop sign and hit the sidecar and crushed his leg. Oh. And eventually it got so bad that they retired him medically in 61. That's mm-hmm. why we came to this country then.
Okay.
We had an option of moving to Panama into the Panamanian zone uh-huh. or coming to the States. And my father later on said he regretted not asking us what we wanted to do because mm-hmm. all three of us would have said, mm-hmm. move into the Panamanian zone because we didn't want to come here.
Right.
At all.
All our friends were there. We didn't want to leave our friends. Because
uh-huh.
my best friend, her mom, Lita, grew up with my mom.
Uh-huh.
And they were best friends. And then when we moved to Margarita, we became best friends. But I know the one reason we moved from Old Cristobal, and that's where he fell in the wagon and chipped his tooth. And I was cutting an apple, and I didn't want to wake my parents. So I walked over to my grandparents before they left in 50. My granddad retired. And I walked over. They lived on 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked over to their house because I knew I'd get in trouble for cutting getting an apple and slicing my thumb almost off. But I still got in trouble because, of course, they had to tell my parents what I did. And I got in trouble because I walked all that distance because I was, about 49. So I was about 5 years old when I did that. But we moved over there because they had lived on that street. And I remember the house they lived in and all. And it was near the Union Church, like you said. The Union Church, I was baptized there.
Uh-huh.
We went there. And there was a church next door to us, but we always went to the Union Church. And right where the Union Church was, right the next street, that was Panama. That was Colon. That was the, and then we were right here. And then down the road was our high school, Cristobal High School, mm-hmm. before it went to Cocosolo.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to 7th and 8th grade there. And then when it moved, I went to the one in Cocosolo. Mm-hmm. We used to sneak in there on the weekends at night because I was skinny then. I fit right through the bars. We'd sneak in or climb the fence and go over there, and they would have jellyfish all over the beach, and I got stung by a jellyfish and limping home, and a policeman picked me up and took me home. We had brick water that went all the way out, and you had the blue water holes, so you had to be careful where you walk because all of a sudden you'd fall. My mom, when my granddad went down there, she was 12 years old,
okay.
and they lived on the Pacific side. She graduated from Balboa High School.
Yeah.
And they
We won't go there.
Well, one of the places they lived in was Diablo. Diablo Heights, I think that's where they lived.
Right.
One of the places. And mm-hmm. one time she was skating at Gorgas Hospital down the hill, and it's a big hill, and she fell and broke her arm. When she went back to the hospital, had the cast taken off, what'd she do? Skate the same place and fell and broke her arm and had to go back to the hospital and get her arm done again.
Our cousins lived on the same side we did at first, Terry and Randy Deakins.
They lived in Gatun and they moved to Margarita up in Snob Hill and then they moved over to
Diablo Heights.
The other side.
The other side. So I'd go over and visit them.
And my dad, he met my mom through his cousin, Wally Wydell, who was down there as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he met my mom through him. and got married in 42 and had me and had Dennis and had Gail. And like he said, Louise, she spanked us, disciplined us, and when it got time for me, she taught me how to iron, which I was grateful for, because that's when I joined the service. It's a good thing I knew how to iron, because you had to iron your uniforms. The guys got to take theirs out, but all the females had to do their own.
Uh-huh.
But she taught me to iron, do the dishes, and I would try to be snippy and say, I'm gonna leave them for her. Oh, I came home from school, those dishes were in the sink, and she goes, Sharon, you gotta do these dishes. She taught me how to mop, how to sweep, because a lot of people come, they came to the States, they didn't have to do that, because like you said, all we had to do was just play. Play and have fun. I watched my mom, I watched her how to cook, and that's how I learned how to cook. Mm-hmm. I watched Louise cook and learn how to cook her food. Mm-hmm. And one year she made fruitcake. If you don't like fruitcake, you would have fell in love with her, because she had a big jar and she'd keep adding rum to it, letting it ferment. By the time that cake was ready, we were eating the cake, and mom's going, why are the kids getting funny? And she tasted it, she goes, oh, she said, you can't put that much rum in it. We were like, chum.
Well, that's the same with the eggnog. They made their own eggnog, and my mom made her own eggnog, and I drank it, and I was like, ooh, I like this stuff.
Mm-hmm. My
we weren't allowed to have
it.
Too
no.
much of that, though.
So. She caught me taking my godmother's one, Mrs. Apple. I couldn't call her Pat Apple. Even though she was my godmother, I had to call her Mrs. Apple. Mm-hmm. Because back then, you didn't call anyone by their first name. If they were an adult, it was Mrs. or Miss or Mr. Mm-hmm. No first name basis. Mm-hmm. And she gave me some eggnog. My mom told her off. Big giveaway right here, my little mustache. But Dad was Grand Exalted Ruler of the Elks Club.
Uh-huh.
First he was secretary, then he was Grand Exalted Ruler.
Then he was secretary.
15 Elks Club number 1542. And they had the best food there, and the K at Knights of Columbus had the best hamburgers. We could get two hamburgers and an RC for 25 cents. And we were like, when they gave us lunch money, we usually had to walk home for lunch because they didn't have lunch programs at school back then.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to either walk home, but when they gave us money for lunch, we mostly went to Knights of Columbus because you got the big, better deal than going to the clubhouse.
Well, we used to do dishes and get a quarter a week, but a quarter would last because you mm-hmm. went to a matinee. You could go to the matinee and get a big bag of popcorn and a Coke for a quarter.
The movie was a dime back then, and it went up to 15 cents, but it used to be a dime. 15 cents, though, for a double feature. You saw two movies Saturdays for 15 cents.
Yeah. I was very mischievous, is why I was known as Dennis the Menace. Most people knew me as Dennis the Menace. And if you mentioned my name, most of them know me, because I was. And my best friend was Terry, and unfortunately he passed away a long time ago, but he was Terry the Terror and Dennis the Menace. I mean, one time his mother asked us to take down the Christmas tree, her mistake, because we had a vacuum cleaner and we didn't know, so we just sucked the bulbs off with the vacuum cleaner. We got in trouble over that. And his father bought him a chemistry set one year for Christmas.
I remember that.
And we're in there trying to figure out what to do and all, and we had it on the stove, something boiling, and we added an ingredient, and it started really smoking bad, so we made it outside before it exploded. But so we got in trouble over that, too. He took the chemistry set away from us.
Big boom. You could feel it. Everybody, what happened?
But you made your own. We had roller skates back then, and you roller skated everywhere.
The old-fashioned kind with the key.
The old kind with the metal and the key.
It kept falling off, and you go.
And then you made your own little
slide to go down the hill.
Slide.
Pom-poms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a box, wax the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you took baby buggy wheels and made a flat cart you could go down and steer it.
Mm-hmm.
And we played death-defying things because it was chicken.
Yes.
And the only way you could stop this thing was run off in the grass. And when you run off in the grass, it stopped. You didn't.
You're right.
So.
You tumbled down the hill.
Yeah, so,
I did that a few times on the box. The box would stop and I wouldn't stop.
Yeah, we had a lot of.
And that hill was steep, and you'd go, get bruised up, grass everywhere.
But I learned how to iron down there and everything also, because I wanted a pair of pants, and I was getting demanding to Louise, and my mom says, hold on. She says, come with me. She took me out. There's the ironing board. There's the iron. Here's the pants. You iron them. You want them. And I did iron them, and I wanted them. I learned to iron. She says she doesn't work on, you know, she says she'll iron them when she gets a chance, but if you want something, you iron it.
And my granddad Randall, he worked at the dry docks. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he did when he was in Balboa, but I know when he came to the Atlantic side, he worked at the dry docks at Mount Hope, and I went a couple times with him. You go down into the steep area, great big huge machines, and it was so loud you couldn't even hear yourself. It was just a roar of it. But I'm not too sure what he did, but I remember the big machinery down there. I know you had to go down some steep things to get down there. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the dry docks. I just don't remember, and I wish I would have asked. If I did, I don't remember, because that was so far back. But now, like you said, I was trying to find out information on that, and Vaudi, one of her cousins, we have the same cousins, even though we're not related, mm-hmm. and she did a history of it, so they would have information on my grandma and my granddad, because mm-hmm. they were also Randy and Terry, because my mom and his mom were sisters. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to get more information, so I'm going to get it that way, through her.
One of the biggest things we had that was a lot of fun was Christmas tree burns after Christmas, and we formed, I don't want to say gangs, but yeah.
Almost like gangs. Steal trees.
But yeah, we'd go asking people for their Christmas trees, because mm-hmm. whoever had the most Christmas trees, that's when we had a contest. We would do that, and then at first of the year, they had a big Christmas tree burn. Well, when I was in France Field, I went around asking for Christmas trees, and this one girl that Beth Lewis, she says, and I, you know, she says, "Oh, you can't have my tree." I said, "Well, I can always come and take it." She says, "You can't get my tree." And I said, "Okay." So I says, "Where is it?" So she told me it was in right by the door where you could see in, and they'd be eating in there. I said, "Okay." And I says, "Come out at 7 o'clock, your tree will be gone." And I could be right here and you could be right there, and you would never know I'm standing right here in the jungle, because we were that good and we were that quiet. We got to know it real well. So I wore all black, and I went in the jungle up by Jeff's house and crawled and went down there, and I crawled out of the jungle, Jeff and I did, and we went up to the house. We watched them eating. We were watching them eating supper, and we took the tree. And she came to my mother the next day crying and give her back her tree. And I says, "Why? It's ours now." "No, you give her back her tree." I says, "That ain't fair." So we went into the I guess that's the maid's room or whatever they mm-hmm. call it. We went in and I gave her a tree. "That's not our tree." And I says, "Tough. It's your tree now." I says, "I'm giving you back your tree." But that's how we always, you know, we'd be real.
They go to people's place. We find out where they have their tree stashed, and they go again. They try to find out where everybody else had theirs, and be driving around. We're talking about that on the Zone Link one time, about everybody going, trying to steal trees from each other. And they have a big bonfire and roast the marshmallows and s'mores. Oh, so good. And sit around telling scary stories and singing songs. My dad was umpire, and he would coach the little league, and
I got kicked off the little league. Well, I was on my father's team. Uh-huh. It was police athletic league, and he wouldn't play me, so I went up the hill and slid down the hill having fun. He told me I had to sit on the bench. And I says, "Why?" You know, and I wouldn't sit on the bench, so he fired me.
Oh. You should have gotten in trouble for asking why.
It's Danielle.
But you know, my dad, you didn't question. If he mm-hmm. said do this, you didn't say why, Dad? You usually just did it. Mom, you could get away with it. Mm-hmm. But if Dad said empty the trash, you didn't say later, Dad. Because wasn't in his vocabulary. It just wasn't. And both my parents hated lies. And one day we had gone to the jungle out there, and we saw a farmer and our two dogs, Andy. And we saw the two dogs that he took for us, Teddy and great, forgot the other dog's name, Teddy and...
There was two T's, I know that.
Right. It wasn't Tammy. No. Tammy was the other dog. But when Dad got home from work, he asked me, "Sharon, what'd you do today?" And I just knew. Something told me. He knows what I did. So I said, "I was in the jungle." And he goes, "Good thing you said that, because I was in the jungle, and saw so-and-so and Andy, and he told me he saw Dennis and you at his farm. And I go, dang, to myself, jungle's huge. How in the world would my dad go to this one little spot in this big jungle, like catching a needle in a haystack, and find us there? I got in trouble, I got punished. I don't know if you got punished, but I don't know why I got punished. I spent more time in my room in Margarita. I was counting tiles and everything. I spent the weekend with my girlfriend, Josephine, in Gatun. And we decided to go to Balboa. We had enough money to get there, but not enough money to get back. We figured, oh, we'll get money from somebody over there. So we get on the train, and we did get some money from some soldier over there. But meanwhile, someone had seen me and called my dad and said, George, well, called the police station. They had to go out, notify my dad that his daughter was over in the other side where I wasn't supposed to be. I was supposed to be in Gatun. So we're coming back, and the train pulls into Gatun. Who's standing there at the railroad station? My dad in full uniform. And I look, and my heart goes, bing, bing. And I'm saying to myself, I didn't want to get off the train. I knew I was in deep trouble. And I said, well, I'm going to go to Cala Cristobal and get off there. And I said, well, if I go to Cristobal, he's got to get his motorcycle and go, oh, I'll be in worse trouble, because then I can't go anywhere. Once you're there, yeah, you can't go any further. So I got off the train. My heart went, blah, blah, blah. He got me in his motorcycle. We went to Josephine's house, got my stuff, took me back home, and I was punished for a whole month. Josephine didn't even get in trouble. Back in the room for, and another time in Margarita, month in the bedroom on the third floor, and I loved slamming doors back then. I banged the door. Dad comes upstairs. You slammed that door, you'd be two more months. They were going to the movie.
No matter where you were, everybody knew you.
Yep.
And if you weren't where you were supposed to be, your parents knew about it. I mean, she's outside on the roof, and I'm out there with it. And somebody saw us on the roof, three floors up on the roof. They had long roofs. Mm-hmm. We were out, and somebody called them and told them where we were.
Yeah. Well, that was a police officer, and I saw him eating his soup, and it went like this, and he looked up, and he stopped mid, and I said, oh, no, he saw. So I went inside and waited for my dad to come home. Sure enough, there comes my dad, another month.
So, but it was just a...
It was fun because you got to play, you got to just... And we had to be home by the time the streetlights came on. If dad whistled, and you could hear his whistle all over 6th Street. Once in it, you had to be home, and you couldn't say you didn't hear it because everybody heard it. So they'd say, oh, yeah, they heard it.
But we could camp out in the jungle. Us, we could. She wasn't allowed to. But Jeff and I were out there one night, and we got hungry. So we came home. It's like 3 in the morning. And we're in the kitchen, and I turn around. There's my father standing with a gun. And I'm scared of the tar out of me. And he says... Next time he says, let me know you're here. I said, yeah. You know, he thought somebody had broke in. But.
The same thing happened to me. That was in Kansas City, because I was trying to surprise him. And I just got in from Lackland Air Force Base, and I was going to surprise him. I'm fiddling with the key, trying to get in, and Tammy starts barking up a storm, and he opens the door with a gun. I about dropped dead right there. So I was just trying to surprise you. He thought someone was trying to break in. I didn't try to surprise him after that. I said, oh, no.
But we had places down there called a clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And that's where you could go, and there was a pool table and bingo upstairs. My mom loved bingo. She played 8 cards. I don't know how she played 8 cards.
But sometimes more.
And that's back when they had the little tiddlywink things mm-hmm. to cover the cards with. So you had to be quick. It's not like blotting them now.
And they were small, too. They were so the whole time.
You go in there, and you have a soda fountain. Mm-hmm. You could get the old soda fountain with syrup in it, and then the soda water. And then there was a part over here where you could eat. It had a restaurant right there. And then the movie theater.
Barbershop.
I mean, and you get comic books, and we go in and read the comic books.
Yeah, to your right was a little section, like a little convenience store, and they mm-hmm. had everything, little things in there that the commissary.
Candy bars for a nickel.
Yeah. You
know. But and then the
ice
commissary
cream holes for a nickel.
Yeah. Then the commissary is where you got all your food items mm-hmm. and stuff.
Kool-Aid was a penny a pack. We'd go in the commissary, get a penny pack Kool-Aid, go to the clubhouse, open it up, put sugar in it. And we go inside the movie theater, and you then come out with a red tongue and green tongue, whatever you would get, that would be. And we used to take the lemons and make our own lemonade. But once they got onto us, they put the lemonades back behind the counter, so we couldn't do that anymore. So you had to ask for the lemons. But they had the best, before I forget it, they had the best sticky buns. Everybody called 5 cents. Oh, they were so good.
I forget.
And the donuts, the twisted donuts. They were the best twisted donuts.
Well, my mom would drop dad off at work in Pristola, I mean, for the police station. We'd go down in Cologne, and they had a bakery there, and they did everything in a brick oven, and they'd have michis. It's like French bread, but little breads, and they'd bring them out of the brick oven fresh, and they'd just melt in your mouth. They were so good.
Did you guys travel outside of the zone a lot?
Yeah, we went to El Valle, Santa Clara. We'd go spend time up in Santa Clara, in the summertime. We'd go up there. My uncle had a place. We had a cottage we stayed at, or we'd go up there with my uncle and my cousins and stay up there. And the beach was beautiful, and you could ride horses. And we went to El Valle, El Volcan, and they made their own ice cream. And you could get, ice cream there. And the oranges, the naval oranges they had there were gorgeous and delicious. Guava.
And they had mango ice cream, papaya ice cream before it became popular. And it was
coconut ice cream.
So good. And big, big, big cookies. I can't think of the name of them now, but they were real thick and they were hard as a rock. Best thing you had to do was dunk them, because if you did, they lasted you all day long. We'd get one cookie and we'd have it all day long because we didn't have anything to dunk it in. But it was, they were good.
But yeah,
cookies.
We do that, yeah. And then they had Fort San Lorenzo, where Morgan used to be and stuff. We'd go there and we'd go to the Chagres River. If you lived in Panama, you had to drink from the Chagres River. That was a must. I can say that I have drank from the Chagres River. And you travel all over the place and do different things. But the biggest things we used to do was, like I said, up in El Valle, El Volcan, Santa Clara. And but that's beach. A long trip.
It was a long trip, and plus the beach. I remember the steep stairs going down, the wooden stairs going down from the place. I wouldn't do that now because I'm afraid of heights, but I did it back then. But I wouldn't go. If I looked at those steps now, I'd say, hey, no way you're going to get me down from here to there. But we had to watch out for the scorpions, because when you go in the shower, there'd be scorpions in there, and those little babies, they get aggressive. Their tail come up, they're coming to attack you. You had to check your shoes all the time and tap them, otherwise you would have a scorpion in there with you. So you always checked your shoes.
We had a wonderful train back then. It's not like that now, but the train ride was 50 cents across the isthmus, but they had not straw.
I thought it was 25 cents at one time.
It might have been, but straw seats. And if you lean back, even a guy, if you lean back and had hair, you go forward, it would catch your hair and pull your hair out. There's no AC in that, of course.
And you get, the soot would all come in because of the cold from it. You keep the windows open because there's no AC. But it was fun riding the train because you go through the tunnels and you get to see all the Gatun Lake and all the little villages. And
yeah, because one of the train stations stopping Gatun was a village where they would get on with their animals. Their pig or rooster or chickens. And people thought, that's how they traveled. So, but my dad patrolled Gatun Lake, and I'd go out and patrol with them to the villages out there and all. Because to patrol Gatun Lake, it took 6 months to traverse the whole lake. Then you start all over again. But
You had two boats, one for regular patrol and one for dignitaries. A big boat when dignitaries came down to show him the comfortable boat. But his regular boat was just a patrol boat, a work boat. And we'd ask him some questions. He didn't always tell us, but we always asked him things, and he wouldn't tell us everything because we bugged him sometimes about, did you kill anybody? He never told us that. He would never tell us that. But he did tell us that he would find the worst thing he had to take from the water was dead bodies, because they would just fall from the hands. He'd pick them up. He said that was the worst part of his job.
Now, the animals down there, we love them. I used to have snakes all the time. I'd take them to school with me. boa constrictor or a vine snake. The only difference between a vine snake and a viper is the viper's poisonous, but you had to catch them to know that. Once you caught them, you squeeze the neck, and if they had fangs, you just tossed them away and found another one. But we were, I'd scare the tar out of teachers and stuff. I'd have that snake around me. Or we'd go catch a lizard and go back to school with a lizard on our shoulder.
Yeah, I used to do that.
I don't do it now. The teachers right would have. My best friend, Terry, this is how bad we were. And it was, I don't say bad to the point where, you know, you have a juvenile. It's just
mischievous
things. Mm-hmm. And in Panama, and when we grew up down there, yeah, some of the mischievous things we did we'd probably get arrested for in the States. But down there, the kids would be kids. Mm-hmm. Terry and I were in the same class up to the fifth grade. Fifth grade, they actually had two teachers. Sixth grade had two teachers. Mm-hmm. But we went in the fifth grade, and we were in the same class. We're sitting there, and the teacher walks in, and it's a lady teacher. I can't remember her name, but I remember the first words out of her mouth. She saw both of us sitting there. She says, "Oh, hell no, you two aren't being in my class." She says, "Dennis, you go stand outside. Terry, you come with me." So she took Terry to the principal's office, and she come back, and I stayed in her class, and Terry went to the other one. Our reputation had preceded us. That's how bad we were.
When I was in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah.
Our history teacher, I can't think of his name right now, but he had a ruler, and he would bang it if you were bad or if you were talking. He'd sneak up on you and scare the daylights. But I was his pet, even though he hollered at me and threatened to do this, and he'd send everybody else to the office, but he threatened to send me. He just moved me all over the classroom. I sat in so many seats. But towards the end of the year, he goes, "Sharon," he says, "do you have any brothers or sisters coming next year?" And I go, "Yeah, I got a brother." And he says, "I won't be here next year if you got a brother, if relatives come." I said, "My brother's coming." When we came back next year, he wasn't there. And everybody blamed me for the teacher going. Because one of his friends said, "Sharon was so kind." Dennis said, "You didn't know my sister."
Because yeah. Mr. Spitzer was our math teacher, and he had her. And then I came in the next year, and oh, he did not like that. So I says, "You know, don't judge me by my sister." And he says, "I don't have to." He says, "I know your reputation." I said, "Oh." So.
I guess I had two sides to me. Some people thought, "Oh, she's just a quiet thing. She doesn't mean my God into some trouble." So my friends that knew me really well said, "Oh, no, she wasn't that quiet."
Paul Beck was our principal. Mm-hmm. And I got to know him real well personally.
Oh, yeah.
I'd walk in the office and tell the girl in there, you know, he says, "I already know you're coming, Dennis. Have a seat." And I go, "Okay." But is there anything else you'd like to know?
Oh, sure. There's lots of things. Right. During some of your travels throughout Panama or in the zone or some of your dad's experiences, was there ever any anti-American sentiments that you guys felt?
No, not at the time. Eisenhower started it, but it really wasn't bad. I mean, at one time, mm-hmm. before we left, they wanted to come out and take the American flag down and put the Panamanian flag up.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that in?
That was
60, the year before, one of them. Because they did have that riot in Balboa.
But they found out.
Dad went to.
Yeah, they found out about it, and we told them that wasn't going to happen, so they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But that was the only time. I mean, I know stuff happened after we left, mm-hmm. and I know the riots that happened. Now, I remember one time we were down there, and in Panama City they had a problem. Mm-hmm. And LaGuardia, the police, LaGuardia back then, they're not there now. It's Policia Nacional now. But LaGuardia was feared. Uh-huh. I mean feared by the Panamanians. You just didn't mess with them. They were an elite police force, and they were stupid. But they set up machine gun nests during the riots, and they actually killed I don't know how many Panamanians. Mm-hmm. Of course, that really didn't make the newspaper or anything. That was squashed by the then president and all, but they did kill like 20 of them or something like mm-hmm. that. And once they did that, then it was really, oh, what are you doing? But then they had the riots after we left, and Hotel Tivoli got all shot up and everything. But LaGuardia arrested my mother. I was with her. And a little kid ran out and hit our car. Uh-huh. She was going maybe 5 miles an hour.
And where was this?
In Cologne.
In Cologne.
And he bounced off, and he was fine. He took off, and the mother was there, you know, said he's fine. Because all he did was just bounce off, and he didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. But LaGuardia saw it and arrested my mother. And, of course, I'm with her, and, you know, so I remember being at a police station in Cologne, and my dad come walking in, and they knew my dad real well. Mm-hmm. He was very well known. And I remember the sergeant at the desk saying, "Hello, George." He says, "Hello, Mr. Tully." He says, "What can I do for you?" He says, "You have my wife locked up." He says, "We what?" He says, "Yes, she's," because they don't let you know. They lock you up unless somebody, you know. And he says, "She's locked up." He said, "Yes." He says, "Just a moment." He went and got her, and he found out who had arrested her and all. And, put him in jail, because it just was a no-no to do that, you know. But that was the LaGuardia back then. They were very, now it's, the economy is bad down there, and the Policía Nacional, you want to get on the police because you get paid, and you're only allowed to work until you're 40, what do you say, 45 years old? Or
if that.
They can't work a real long time. Mm-hmm. 20 years tops. So if you get on when you're 18, 38, you got to retire.
Wow.
So, but that's them. And then the president has his own police, which is somewhat like what the LaGuardia is. They're afraid of them. Mm-hmm. But they're well trained. Albrook, the old Albrook Air Force Base is where they train those policemen. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the malls like they do down there now. We went to the Albrook Mall, and you could probably be there 2 weeks and not do the whole mall. It's that big. It's three stories. And it's huge. But we just had the, Patty Seaman and I, we ran away from home when we were 4 years old.
Now you were young, about five, I guess.
We ran away, and we got in the elevator where the Eastern
YMCA
Star is, and the that upstairs.
The Sonic Temple is there.
And we got in the elevator because it opened, but we were too small to hit the buttons. So we're in the elevator, and we're just standing there holding hands, and we stood in that elevator. They had everybody looking for us, and we were in there probably a good 2 hours.
About four.
And 4 hours?
About four.
Okay. And finally, somebody hit the elevator to go upstairs, and we're standing right there. You know, no, we were crying or not. We were just waiting for somebody to open the elevator. And that's how they found us. I didn't get in trouble, thank God, for that, because I was so worried. But, you know, and I walked over to my grandma. She taught me how to do that, because when she went over to grandparents' house, I went over there when I was like 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Disappeared from our house and walked over to her house. Mm-hmm.
I disappeared from my grandma too. She'd be talking to one of her friends, and this is my time. I was in my underwear, and I just took off and went through the Cologne, walked through all the seedy area, and I get almost down to the police station. They're hunting for me, having a fit, and someone pulls over and gets me in the car, and they were surprised I got that far. I mean, my little underwear and just my little legs. Like, probably about 3 years old when I did this, and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to go see my daddy." Well, I had everybody worried.
Well, Sharon was famous too, because she was probably the first child to fly to Tampa at the age of five.
Eight months. I went 8 months too, but then I also went by myself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
By yourself. Yeah. You were about 5 years old. Oh, she flew by herself. Up to Tampa. She was, you know, they put her on the plane and all. She made the papers and all.
In Miami, I got away, and I missed my flight. They were looking for me, and I disappeared. And I'm walking all over the airport in Miami having a ball. They finally found me. And I remember the benches they had me, got me a big hamburger and another flight. And meanwhile, my grandmother and granddad are waiting for me in Tampa, and that's when the airport was a wooden building. And it was Tampa International, but it was just a wooden shack.
Yeah, clapper.
And they called Miami. They said, well, she had disappeared, but we found her, and we're going to put her on the next flight.
Yeah, Drew Park back then, that's where the airport was in Drew Park.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't have all those shady things there. There wasn't none of that XXX stuff back there at that time. It was more
in Panama, yeah, we went a lot of places in Panama.
Well, yeah.
Different places, because most of the time we'd walk, because if you were walking, somebody stopping to give you a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew, they just thought, you going, where are you going? We tell them, say, okay, we'll give you a ride.
Yeah, well, one time we got in trouble. Kenny, he was a Navy officer's, and we lived on Cottage Place in 6th Street. And for some reason, 3 o'clock in the morning, we decided we were going to go to Gatun. So all three of us snuck out of the house, and we were walking up on the road to go to Gatun, and a car picked us up and dropped us off where all the Army place were. When you went right by the Chinese Garden, there was a
Third Cut.
There was Third Cut. There was a Army bivouac going on there, and they had their little hammocks that were screened in. And we were in there talking to them, and they heard a police car drive up, and they hit us because they were looking for us. We'd been there a long time. I think it was daylight then when they showed up. And they said, no, they hadn't seen us, and we were hiding. So the police car left, and we went walking, and we found this big tower, and we climbed up the tower. Well, this MP was being a smart jerk, and he told us to come down. He took his gun out and aimed at us, so we shut the door so he wouldn't shoot us, because he thought he was going to shoot the gun because he had it out and pointed up at us.
Trying to scare us out of there.
Trying to scare us.
All we did was shut the door and say, you can't shoot through that.
And we didn't come down, so they had to, the regular police came, and he got shipped back to the States because he wasn't, point guns at kids. And mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know if you got in trouble, but I got punched again.
Oh, I got in big trouble over that one, yeah. Yeah, well, they had a Chinese Gardens there. That was really neat. You could get
Ginups,
Chinese plums. If you didn't know, it was fun because it wasn't fun for them. But you get a kid from the United States come down there, and we take them to Chinese Garden. Ginups are real sour. You can see their faces, or the Chinese plums were really, and your face would really pucker. But Kenny, when he first come down, I used to eat red peppers right off the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to show you how bad they are, I told Kenny they're good to eat. He wanted to eat one. I said, go ahead and have one. Well, he had blisters on his lip for about 2 weeks. And, they were that hot. And, of course, I got in trouble for that. I said, I didn't tell him to eat it. I didn't force him to eat it.
Well, you were egging him on, basically. Oh, I mean, like daring him. You just touched that, though. I would accidentally touch it on the way to school. By the time I would get to school, my eye would be swollen shut, and person with me had to hold my hand to leave me because I couldn't see when we almost got there, and I had to call my mom. I had to go home because sometimes you forget, you just go along touching things, and I forgot I had touched it and rubbed my eye, and boy, that was it. My eye.
But you had a lot of places like Front Street in Panama. When the ships came in, that's where they would go buy souvenirs and stuff, and as kids we'd go and down there, we wanted extra money when a ship came in. And we tell the tourists that if they wanted something, to let us know, and we could get it for them for a good price, if they were willing to give us like $5. $5 back then was like a fortune for us. But they would go in, and we'd go in and buy it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the shop people finally called the police and all, and told, would you please keep your children out of here when the ships are in so we can make more, because they're killing our business. So we were banned from going down Front Street when there was tourist ships in.
Yeah, we go down there. We had shoes called squeakers. The louder they squeaked, the better they were. And we paid like $1 or $2 for them. They're made out of, I don't know if it was some sort of wood stuff.
Yeah.
And they wove in sandals with a back part to it, and you try them on and walk around the store to make sure, because you wanted a pair that really squeaked. Yeah, the tourists, they'd charge them like $20 for them, but we could get it for $1 or $2. And but I miss, I had a pair one time up here, but they haven't had it since, and I'd love to have some more squeakers. You could get perfume there real cheap, and people pay $80, you get it for $5.
Now, the fishing down there was wonderful.
Oh,
there's a fish down there called Corvina. It's all white meat, and it's
That's ceviche.
Yeah, it's delicious. Nita, my wife, can tell you, she's had it, and it's
when I took her down there. All the time.
And but it's good. We used to fish a lot. We'd be fishing at 2 in the morning off the seawall or whatever, and you could fish off the Chagres River, the Caribbean or Caribbean, however you want to pronounce it, Atlantic Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean. You had all those, you know,
Pena Beach was good to fish too.
Places to fish. Mm-hmm. And it was all saltwater or bracket, but I mean, it was good fishing. I mean, how many people can say within 2 hours you could be fishing in the Pacific Ocean? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's all it took to cross the isthmus was 2 hours. But now to go up in the interior, like where we went and stuff, and that took a long time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did that one time. Went on a picnic. We used to go a lot on picnics after Sunday church. And we went way up Pena Beach, somewhere around there. We had to cross the bridge. That was a feat to go across the locks. And that little, you look up to the huge locks and go across the small bridge. And then go way up in the interior. And we get all the way up there. My mom had forgot the chicken. The main ingredient. We couldn't go back because it was too far to go back. So we ate what she had. And then we got back home. That one pier out there at Pena Beach, it was deep water because not like the beaches up here. You walk out a few feet and boom, you're down. And you could catch some big fish at that pier.
Yeah, Mr. Brewer would be out there in his wooden boat. Yeah, back then, wooden boats were popular. But when you went across the locks in Gatun, there was a bridge to go across the lock. And if you happen to be on that bridge and there's a ship, it would open up and you're stuck on it. Now, I could be as close from you to me to the ship. I could actually walk out and touch the ship if I wanted to, because that's how close it was to you. It was huge, of course, because, you know, you're at the bottom part of the ship looking up. But, I mean, it was neat to see that. Never went through the locks the whole time I was down there.
Yeah, me neither.
But, it you know, and you had the yacht clubs you could eat at, Cristobal Yacht Club, Balboa Yacht Club.
Gatun had a yacht club. I don't know if they did it after we left, but they had it. Oh, yeah, they do it for the tourists.
But there were so many different places you could go to. After church on a Sunday, we'd drive over to Panama City. They had a Grand China restaurant. Or we'd go to Hotel Tivoli that had a buffet.
Mm-hmm. And the best food.
The food was just so good.
Man. All kinds of meats, all kinds of vegetables, all kinds of desserts.
Mm-hmm. And everything grew wild. If you went in the jungle, I didn't have to take anything in there because I had sugar cane, I had pineapple, I had coconuts, we had mangoes, we had rose apples.
Guava.
And
ice cream and bean.
Assortment of food. So you never had to worry about eating. Now, when you went in the jungle, as far as us went, you go in with two things, a bowie knife and a machete.
And we never took either one. Body and I would just walk.
Yeah, the coconuts there, they grew wild. And of course, if you got thirsty, you could just, we knew how to climb the coconut trees. Mm-hmm. You just had string with you and climb the tree and get a green coconut. And you cut the top off and you had juice. You get the brown coconuts, you crack them open, and then you had coconuts you could eat.
Yeah, I like those.
So, but that's how we, and bananas grew wild down there. So like I said, everything grew wild. Mm-hmm. Whereas up here, no. But
they even had those little, I don't know what they're called, but around the palm trees, they had a little long, like leaf, skinny one. And at the bottom was a brown thing, and you cracked it open. Inside was a white thing, and you ate that. Mm-hmm. We ate a lot of stuff. We could have been dead because we didn't know. We were just eating, and it was good. We ate that too. And in Margarita, where Kenny, the place he lived behind him, they had a guava tree that overhung the cliff. Mm-hmm. And the guava trees are slippery.
Yeah.
And I would climb that tree to get the guava. If I had fell, I would have been dead as a doornail.
It was like a 30-foot drop.
It was stupid. I'd just climb out
but
there.
But I'd go out there in the rain to get it. Rain. Yeah. But, you know, it's just...
I never told my parents I did that because they probably would have chopped the tree down. Because I climbed trees a lot back
but
then.
But we had Snake Road. What we called it, I don't remember.
It's
still
the
there because we were on Snake Road, Allen, and I saw my house. Because after 49 years, I went back there, and every house that we lived in is still standing, is still there. A lot of them aren't there anymore, whereas every one that we lived in was still there. Wow. So it was really amazing. It was a fun trip going back. I wish I'd gone back sooner, But I got to take Nita with me, and she got to see where I used to live and all, and then she could understand more. But it was the climate down there. It was rainy season 9 months out of the year. That rained every day. Dry season 3 months out of the year, it rained every other day. But it rained a lot. It wasn't that long. Maybe you could have maybe a half hour shower and that's it. But it would rain every day.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes all day, though. Then it would love to rain. Sometimes
all day.
Roof, the rain sounds so good. You'd lay in bed and read your comic books. Mm-hmm. And there was no such thing as not. Sometimes, a lot of times, you get off the school bus, you had to walk home in the rain because they dropped you off at the end of the street. Mm-hmm. And then you had to walk home. Of course, you hit every puddle, so you're even wetter by the time you get home. We lived in France Field. He dropped us off right at the house, which was nice.
Yeah, but they didn't used to do that at first.
No.
You had to walk all the way down the end of the road. Finally, our parents said, no, you need to come up here and get them. So.
But another fun thing we did was, since Dad was with the Elks Club and the police officer, every year for the Easter egg hunt, we had two of them. One at the police range, they hid eggs, and then the Elks Club also did it. So we made out like a bandit for Easter, for Christmas, because we had the Santa Claus at the police range, and at the Elks Club we'd have Santa Claus. And they would have fish fries. I love the fish fries. A Friday night, there'd be a fish fry at the Elks Club. And we'd go to that. Then they would also have them at the police range. And we'd go there and have it. And the golf club, they had a golf range all the way down this one. What was the road called? But all the way down at the end, the police range was on that road too, but you had to go further for the golf course. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking with my dad doing it. And they had the restaurant there too, and people ate there too.
Yeah, playing golf. I learned to play golf in the jungle. That was interesting because if you had a hook or a slice, your ball was gone. Because if it went in the jungle, you weren't going to find it. You might find somebody else's the way you're looking for yours, because it's that thick of a growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you had to really concentrate on hitting that ball because, like I said, you would just lose it. So it was interesting learning to play golf down there. But I played, the last time Nita and I went back, we played on a golf course at Summit near Gamboa. And Teddy Roosevelt played on that course. And the Radisson Hotel, which bought all that property, is redoing it, and it's beautiful.
No, not Granddad Randall. He rode with Teddy Roosevelt. He was with him.
Yeah, the Rough Riders.
He was a Rough Rider. Oh, yeah.
But there's different, there were so many different places to go and see and do. I mean, even in Panama City, they had tailors down there to go to the book, The Tailor of Panama, and stuff that people write about and all. And my wife has tried to encourage me to write my memoirs and that I would, because it's just, it was an interesting life.
Yeah, I started it, but I didn't finish. Everybody in the zone were waiting for my next. I have like up to eight chapters so far, and I kept them. But everybody was waiting for the next chapter, and I just never did the next chapter. I need to print it out and start doing it again. But I think Granddad probably did have something to do with the canal, because since he did ride with Teddy and knew Teddy Roosevelt, that's probably one reason why he went to Panama.
Yeah,
because Teddy started that.
But a lot of the families down there helped build, their family helped build the canal, which are Roosevelt metal owners and stuff.
And I think we're entitled
to it. It went up way until, and actually Panama, when we were in Panama, we actually gave them their independence from Colombia, which that was all Colombian territory, and we actually told Colombia that they couldn't come in there anymore, and they signed a treaty, a perpetual treaty, with Panama. I think that most people don't know what perpetual means, especially Jimmy Carter, who gave the canal back to them. I mean, that's fine that he did it, but he did it all illegally, because a perpetual treaty is never ending. And you can't break it, but he took it upon himself, because he was president, to break it and give it back to Panama. And they've done great. I mean, they've done great with it down there. So, I mean, they still have, there is a canal authority Canal Authority. But the ACP is how mm-hmm. they have it. Mm-hmm. Authority Canal of Panama. Because in Spanish, things are backwards. But the ACP is still down there, and they take care of a lot of it down there. If they didn't do that, it wouldn't look as good. Because if you go to Gamboa down there, I mean, it's got potholes. Anything that the ACP has control over and all that, it's nice. The roads are nice and everything. Once you get out of that area, they're not.
Mm-hmm. The Chinese took over a lot. And I think if we had been there, they wouldn't have.
But it's really...
Panamanians should have more control than the Chinese do. I don't think that's fair.
It's really gotten big down there. I didn't go to Panama City a lot. I mean, I went with my cousins. Mm-hmm. We'd go over there. And like I said, up in the interior, we went for summers and stuff like that. But there was a lot to do. There's never nothing not to do. So, I mean, is there anything else you...
Well, I'd love to hear about when you moved back to the States and kind of that transition for you guys.
That was hard.
I didn't like it.
I didn't
want to leave Panama.
I didn't want to leave it either. People in the States were just nasty. And it was a different atmosphere. They weren't nice like they were in, mm-hmm. in Panama. And they were so prejudiced. When we came up, they had the color fountain and the white fountain. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't used to that. And I'm looking at it, and I was looking for water, and I finally found, and it said color, and I said, why does it say color? And I thought it was going to be blue water, green water, and I'm sitting there saying, well, I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink it anyway, whatever color it is, I'm drinking the water. And it came out normal. I said, oh, good, it's normal water. And some white guy sees me, and he goes, you can't drink from there, that's for colored people. And I said, it's water. And he goes, yes. And I said, well, then I'm going to drink it. And I wasn't used to that, and I would sit there and talk to a black woman. She said, you shouldn't be sitting here. I said, why, you don't want to talk to me? She said, no, but everybody's going to be staring at you and talking. I said, I don't care, let them. I said, I enjoy my conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And the buses, we had to sit in the back, and I'd sit in the back, and he goes, you're not supposed to sit back there. I said, why, I paid my fare. He said, that's for colored folks. And I said, I paid my fare, I'm sitting back here. I said, that's where I want to sit. I wasn't used to that part, and then
I just
like
wasn't
he said,
used to
the school system that he almost got expelled out of school the first day he was there from all the rules at Chamberlain High School. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I had cleats on, horseshoe cleats, and the guy told me I'm not allowed to have them. And I said, why? He says, because it's rules. And I says, all right, I'll make sure I don't wear them tomorrow. He says, no, you'll take them off now. I says, I'll what? You know, and he actually maybe gave me a screwdriver and actually asked, you know, if you ruin this heel, you'll be buying me new shoes. And not only did I have to take them, and then he gives me demerits, because if you got so many demerits, you got to expel. I says, demerits for what? I said, I didn't know about this rule, and you're doing this? I mean, it was just, I did not like the people distrust teenagers down in Panama. You didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Up here, you did. It was a totally different society. Mm-hmm. And really, I didn't adjust well at all. I mean, the fact that I couldn't, you know, I had to take everything over again in school. I mean, you know, so it just didn't go well at first, you know, because it was just like night and day. And, you know, because even in Panama, like she was saying, we'd go down to Colon where Louise lived. And you had to walk. It was funny. You walk through alleyways, and then you had to go up on a second. And you're walking through boards. Now how they live down there, and you're walking on boards. And we got to her house, and she'd have food for us, and we'd eat with her daughter and son. Mm-hmm. And we thought nothing of it and all. But up here, it was totally different. But we graduated from Dixie Hollins High School here, and there was some black kids there at the time, and none of us had a problem with them. I don't know what the big to-do was, but we didn't, you know, there was no problem. But if we associated with them, or they didn't want to associate with us, I said, that's your problem, not mine. But the transition was even hard for my father. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to retire and come up here. And for my mom, my mom did go to work up here. Mm-hmm. Back then when we moved to St. Pete, Webb City was prominent. That was a big, like, 4 or 5-story building.
Five, I think.
Yeah, it had a lot of stuff there. It was a big, like, it was a It was a mall all in one. Mm-hmm. Back then, you didn't have malls. But Web City, had every floor had something different on it. The top floor had the mermaids, so we always went down and looked at the mermaids.
The rooster or the chicken?
Yeah,
that was up
then
there.
They had one. Yeah, they'd have a rooster or a chicken that you put money in, and he'd peck and get his food. You know, to get his food and all, he'd know what to do. It was this. But I'm sure that after being born down there and coming up here, it was difficult. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't the same.
True. Because we didn't have our friends, you had to make new friends, and at first they'd make fun of you because I gave a speech that I had to give in my speech class, and I said, well, I'll talk about Panama and the different things there. I was talking about the bugs and the roaches. Well, we do have big roaches down there. There's some dock roaches and jungle roaches that are 12 inches, and they fly. Well, they didn't believe me, and they're making, one kid made a complete jerk of himself on a speech, and I said, they need to go. And then they asked me if we swung through the trees like Tarzan to go to school. And I said, no, we have regular yellow school buses like you do here in the States. Or rowboat to school. Or do you have toilet paper down there? We had everything down there. Running water, hot and cold.
Now, I did used to tease the kids when I come up here on vacation. They say, how do you get to school? I said, well, we swing through the jungle. I said, they had vines and stuff. And I said, well, our school was across the bay, so we take a canoe. They actually believe me. I'm sitting there, you know. So, but
one of my friends, when she came to the States, she went to a laundromat and she had no idea what to do because she never didn't have washing machines. The maids did with the washboard and mm-hmm. did the clothes and wrung them out and hung them up. And she had to ask somebody how to operate the washing machines and the dryers because she had no idea. And my thing was the pay telephone. Uh-huh. I was at Web City and I had to call home. I put a quarter in expecting change. And I called the operator back and I said, I didn't get any change. And she probably said, I've got some dumb. And she goes, change. I said, yeah, I said, I put my quarter in, but I didn't get any change back. And she said, you don't get change. And I said, why not? They sent me the change in the mail. But I didn't know that. Maybe she probably still tells that story to me. Some little kid called me. Some kid called me.
So what was it like going back to Panama?
When I went back to Panama, for me, and I told my wife, Nita, I don't know when I told her, prior to, or it was to me, it was a healing process because I had been gone so long and I had such a chip on my shoulder about leaving when I was in high school there and all. And it was, I really thoroughly enjoyed myself. We had a gentleman, Alan Hawkins, who lives down there. He gave us a tour of the Atlantic side. And I didn't know it, and he was taking pictures of me, taking pictures of everything where I used to live, because I was so excited that, you know, I'm trying to explain everything and all. And, you know, I was just having a ball. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's still the same, just different buildings now. Mm-hmm. But, and of course, the roads are rough, some of them, but everything, like I said, was still there. But it was a very enjoyable trip. It just wasn't long enough. So I definitely need to go back. I mean, it was, I love the country. It's just so nice down there. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to use air conditioning.
Yeah, we didn't have AC until 69. My parents finally got AC in 1969.
Yeah, after we all graduated and moved out, then they get air conditioning.
Well, they got
in the
it
house.
From Frank because I bought my son Frank, who was just born at the time, they had to get AC for him. I said, well, bad for us kids. And my mom never bought sodas in Panama. We didn't have sodas unless we went to a friend's house that had them or the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. She got fruit juices, Kool-Aid. And the grandchildren, she had a whole cabinet of sodas. I said, Mom, we weren't allowed with grandkids. And then she had a freezer full of ice cream sandwiches, popsicles, the whole nine yards. We didn't have that.
We had fizzies, though. That was fizzies before.
Yeah, we had the fizzies, which was neat. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Coke ones, the root beer were the best.
Yeah, root beer fizzies were the best.
But Dad, the reason he got to Panama, he was on an Army transport ship, and I wish I knew the name of the ship, and they were going through Panama Canal, and they had a list of guys to get off for Albrook Airfield, and Dad was on the list. Mm-hmm. He was headed for Hickam Airfield in Hawaii. So if he'd gone there, we wouldn't have been born. So there's a reason why his name was on the list to get off, and he got off, and I guess...
Because he was in the Army Air Corps, he flew.
Wally was at a cop on the Atlantic Pacific side, then he transferred over.
Dad was on the Pacific side too.
First, and then because
he was a motorcycle.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I forgot to tell my George. I think he died, didn't he? George recently died, or is he still alive? George Chevalier or whatever.
He recently died.
Okay, yeah. He was talking on the Zone Link about this police officer who was taking, I don't know what, if it was a liver or what he's taking across the from Colon to probably Gorgas Hospital. Mm-hmm. And he made it record time. I forget what he said. No one, and everybody has tried to beat the record since and never did. And he said that police officer was George Tulling. I go, George Tulling? I'm reading the email. Yeah. And I said, I didn't know that about Dad. So I go, that was my dad. I said, thank you, I didn't know that. But no one was able to beat his record. And I couldn't find that email, and George couldn't find the email because he had moved and he was trying to look up everything. He said once he found it, he would have sent it to me, but he died before he could find it. I know it's there somewhere. But Dad, I'd like to be able to find that information, when he did it and what actually occurred and how long it did take, because I don't remember now, because that was back in 98 or 99 when he wrote that email.
Well, it's been really great talking to you guys. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I just enjoyed I was glad I was born in Panama and got to live there for almost 18 years. My mom, of course, longer. She was lucky. She got to live there longer. Mm-hmm. Knew, like my
mom
brother said,
Dad,
she knew so many people. Dad knew so many. They knew everybody from the Pacific side and the Atlantic side. So they knew
everybody knew everybody. So you couldn't get away with anything as kids.
Especially like, our side.
You know, I'd have a policeman come up to me and said, Dennis, you know anything about the explosion in the old tower, old building over there, the airplane hangar-like thing? And I said, no, we heard it. We were at the clubhouse eating. And what we'd done, we turned a fire extinguisher on. It was a big, tall one. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't shut it off. So we left. And he says, well, you know, somebody thought they saw you going in there. I says, no, it wasn't us, because we were over at the clubhouse eating. I says, why, what happened? He says, well, this fire extinguisher blew up, and it blew the steel doors right off the building out into the field. And I says, man, good thing everybody was at lunch. He says, yeah, it's a good thing for you everybody was at lunch. I says, what are you talking about? He says, I know it had to be you, Dennis. He says, I can't prove it, but he says, I'll keep watching you. And I says, you okay? Keep watching me. And I says, oh, we were very mischievous. But
and we were throwing rocks and pebbles at the theater when people were inside the
Tin Roof. So we'd buy the Boston baked beans and throw the Boston baked beans up
and
there.
And rocks and stuff. Yeah. Police officer, we heard a voice go.
We went to throw, and he coughed, and I turned around. Here's Mr. DeLapp, and he says, I don't think you really want to be doing that, do you? And I says, no. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was
Halloween was different. Just a trip. We loved Halloween because you went out and you came home. I mean, we had candy from Halloween to April to Easter.
We knew all the places that he gave, and we knew where the money street was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so everybody knew that. I trick-or-treated at the fire station. I think Sharon was with me that night, and Margarita, and we kept trick-or-treating, and finally they hollered down, get out of here.
Because we go home and we get a big bag, take it home, and we come back out again and take another. We'd have four or five bags and just, and they
and
give
you can trick or treat all over
bars,
the place down there. You can't do that up here. You know, you have
they
to
give
go
us apples, bring us in and give us food and drink. If they didn't have treat, they'd feed us. And
some would make us do a trick. He says, it says trick or treat.
Yeah.
You're going to do a treat before I give you a, you're going to do a trick before I give you a treat. So we'd have to do something.
But Halloween
but
was a fun
it was,
time.
It was fun. And every Sunday, everybody went to church, and after church, you'd go to the clubhouse. Most go to the clubhouse and have the breakfast there or the lunch, and they had a salad, the best salad in the world. It had papaya and mangoes and all bananas. It was the best fruit salad for 25 cents. Big bowl.
But we could go on and on forever.
Yes.
That's the one thing I liked about Panama is we went to the grocery stores and did our own cooking, and you could eat so cheap. I mean, it was, the prices there are just wonderful.
Well, yeah, we got Corvina, and I got a whole slab of Corvina for 55 cents.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So.
And if you wanted to fish, it would be nothing. You can do it all by yourself.
Like he was telling you about the monkey plums, the Chinese plums. I used to eat the monkey plums like crazy until one of my mom friends said, Sharon, we got to watch out for the little worms in them. I wish she hadn't told me that because then I stopped eating the monkey plums. I still ate the Chinese plums, the ganops. When she's and monkey plum jam, if you ever get a hold of monkey plum, it is the best jam. Guava jam, that is so good. Even papaya jam. Mango jam is good. Mango salsa. You want to eat that because it is fabulous. And they do have a mango salsa.
Yeah.
Man, it's good. But the Chinese, the monkey plums, I just, once she told me about the little worms, I said, no, I'm not going to eat anymore. And I didn't touch another one after that. I said, I wish you had told me that. But like, all you had to do was just walk anywhere and just pick it. And the ice cream bean tree, anyway, says, what's an ice cream bean?
But have you ever
it's a
been
big
to
pot.
No, I've never
you
been.
Have to go.
But yeah,
you
all
have
these
to go.
Stories, it just sounds wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, you're from the other college too. You know,
yes.
You have the other side. You're from the other college also. I'm sorry, I just had to mention that.
You know? You're the one off of Florida, off of Fletcher?
No, she's in the University of Florida.
Oh, actually, I go to FSU.
Oh, well, very good.
I grew up in Gainesville, but I go to FSU.
Okay.
But this is a UF program, so.
It's a good program.
Yeah.
I'm glad they married. He was talking about that at the meeting yesterday, and it was so funny how he was saying about the wedding took place.
Oh,
yeah, that was so cute.
With the museum and UF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really great that
right.
we
yes.
can continue this. And
yes,
because we're a dying breed. Once we go. It's, so we're trying to get the kids interested. So I think what I'm going to do is when I get money, I'm going to get them to join, and then after that they can join themselves. Because my son has come with me, and both my daughters have come with me, and Charlotte would like to come this year, but she had to go to Myrtle Beach with her family. But I told her maybe next year you can come. Because she hasn't been to one since. I think the last one she came to, we were in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And that's when we got kicked out of that one.
It's their own fault.
But it was the fault of the hotel because the Zonians told them how much alcohol to get. They didn't believe it, so they didn't get enough. They ran out the first day.
And on Sunday back then, you couldn't buy alcohol, so they wouldn't give us any alcohol.
It was
a
riot.
They got rowdy, and
they were upset.
Told us not to come back. We told them we wouldn't come back anyways.
You run out of alcohol on the first day, they're going to have a rebellion on their hands with them folks. They like the rum.
I need to go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again.
I appreciate that.
It's been wonderful hearing your guys' story.
Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate being able to.